Okay, we're starting Lech Lecha. Last time we finished Noach, page 54 in the Song Chumashim. Class tonight is sponsored for Rabbi Yosef Morovitch's birthday. Happy birthday. Shnas Hatzlacha, successful year.
Amen.
Okay, Parshas Lech Lecha, before we begin, begins the life of Avraham Avinu. The previous Rebbe said, Noach is a very depressing parsha. Talks about the flood. You know, the end of the parsha begins a little bit lively, you know, with Avram. But Lech Lecha is complete, a lively parsha. It speaks only about Avram Avinu. It also begins discussing the 10 tests of Avram Avinu, or most of them. Some of them mentioned in passing before. Even though Terech was still alive, like we learned last week, Terech is still alive. In fact, Yitzchak was in his 50s, I think, when Terech died. Okay, so Terech was really alive for a long time, but the Torah finishes up with him because we want to get to the story of Avraham Avinu. Now, at the beginning of Noach, the Pasuk says, Vayem elekim on Noach, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. Noach was a tzaddik. So the Ramban asks, the Torah should begin here, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Avram, how you tzaddik? Why doesn't he begin saying that Avram Avinu was a tzaddik? Like he says by Noach. He starts off talking about Noach, he says Noach was a righteous man. So why doesn't the Torah begin saying that Avram Avinu was a righteous man? Why did Vayomer Hashem al Avram? Okay, Hashem says to Avram. We'll soon see the answer to that question of the Ramban. Okay, let's listen to this first passing, then we'll discuss it. There's a lot to discuss in this passing. Hashem said to Avram, Lech lecha go, mi'artzecha from your land, or mi'melatzecha from your birthplace, or mi'beis avicha from your father's house, meaning from your relatives, ala aretz asher ar'eka to the land I will show you. So what is Hashem telling Avram? He's not even saying, go here. He says, leave. Go. I'll show you eventually where you need to go. And this is one of the tests of Avraham Avinu, by the way, as Chazal tell us. Hashem says to Avraham, go. We don't even know where. I mean, normally the guy says, okay, pack your bags and leave. So normally the question is, where to where? Avraham Avinu didn't question. He knew Hashem said, go, go. Where, we'll worry about it later. We'll figure it out later.
So what about the initial, which direction...
When he started, we're going to see.
No, but does God kind of put in control his heart?
Yes, at that moment Hashem is telling him where to go. Yeah, otherwise, where would he go? But we'll see. Okay, now, there's a whole question over here, because soon the Torah is going to say that Avraham Avinu was 75. When Hashem told him, Lech Lecha. In a few psukim, it's going to say Avram was 75 years old. The problem is, at the end of the Pasha, at the Bris Bein Hapsarim, you know, Hashem cut the thing in half and they walked between, Hashem made a covenant with him. At that time, Avram Avinu was 70. So the obvious question is, here he's 75, later on in the Pasha he's 70. So what does that mean? So many, and also, I mean, just in the order, like what happened. So obviously there's a rule in Torah, a mukdum u'mu'ucha b'Torah. There is no necessarily chronological order in Torah. Torah doesn't always go by chronological order of events. Torah goes by different things. Many opinions say there were two goings. There was one by Bris Bein Hapsarim, and there was one when he was 75. The second one, according to many commentators, was after the Bris Bein Hapsarim. Bris Bein Hapsarim was 70. Here he's 75. So it's talking afterwards, and this comes after that story, okay? Now, what happens over here? Hashem says to Avram like this, go. Where does he say go? But he says like this. Let's take one thing at a time. Lech lecha. What do you mean, lech lecha? Lech means go, lecha means to yourself. Lech, go. What do you mean, lech lecha for yourself? So Rashi says, it's for your benefit. if you go, Lech, it's Lecha, it's for your benefit. Why? Here, you're not going to have any children. Well, I'm telling you to go, eventually you're going to have Yitzchak. So it's for your benefit. I'm going to make you a great nation and all that. So Hashem basically telling him that you're going to become famous, not that Avram did it for ego. Avram had a mission in life. Avram Avinu's mission was to spread godliness in the world. It says in Chassidus that his self-sacrifice was even greater than Rabbi Akiva's. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, when there was a Roman decree about not learning Torah, Rabbi Akiva was still continuing learning Torah. He was still learning Torah. So a student said to him, why are you doing this? They're going to catch you, they're going to kill you. Notice he gave the famous story with the fish in the water I'm alive out of. But he says like this, Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life, I was looking to be able to have Mesiras Nefesh, to give up my life for God. Now that I finally have the opportunity, I shouldn't be happy? Rabbi Akiva was beaming, he was happy. He said, my whole life I was waiting to do Mesiras Nefesh. Now that I have the opportunity, I shouldn't be happy. That's a very great level. But it says Avraham Avinu was even greater. Because in a certain respect, Rabbi Akiva wanted Mesiras Nefesh for his own completion, to be a complete person. He did it because he wanted to reach the ultimate level. Avraham Avinu also had Mesiras Nefesh. He had 10 tests. All big, massive self-sacrifice. What was unique about Avraham Avinu? He didn't look for it. He said, God gave me a mission. Spread belief in one God. Yeah? Whatever it takes to do, that's what I'm going to do. I need self-sacrifice, I'll do self-sacrifice. I don't need it, I won't do it. There's no me. I don't even want to be a holy person with self-sacrifice. I'm doing it because this is what Hashem wants me to do. Whatever it takes to do, I'm going to do. So this Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, in many respects, Chassidus explains, was even greater than the Mesiras Nefesh of Rabbi Akiva that did it for his personal accomplishment. But Avraham Avinu, there was no accomplishment. He went to what he did.
Rabbi, I have one comment.
Yeah.
It's probably better to stay alive longer. In other words, maybe not do one mitzvah, but stay alive longer. You can do many other mitzvahs.
Yeah, that is a true statement. In fact, it's brought down that the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef Cairo, who compiled the Shulchan Aruch that we have today, is his work. He was supposed to die with Mesiras Nefesh for the sanctification of God's name. For a Jew, there's no higher thing than he goes straight to Gan Eden. I mean, you're super holy. Something happened. He lost the opportunity. But because of that, we have the Shulchan Aruch. If he would have died al Kiddush Hashem, we wouldn't even have the Shulchan Aruch today. Okay. Another interesting point about what you just said. When Avram brought Yitzchak up, the 10th final test of Avram Avinu was taking Yitzchak up as a sacrifice, right? Now, in the movies or in the books, you see this little boy Yitzchak, and his father taking him up. Okay. Yitzchak was 37 years old at the Akedah. 37. He wasn't a baby. He was an adult, right? Yitzchak at 37 was great, yeah? He was the one getting killed. Correct? Why is it called the test of Avraham Avinu? The test of Avraham Avinu? Why isn't it called the test of Yitzchak?
It's his first son?
Huh?
First son after 99 years?
Can you imagine? So? But Yitzchak's getting killed, not Avraham.
Blood,
yeah, but this is him. This is only a kid. So what's the answer? It's a fundamental. A lot of commentators say this, but not only a lot of commentators. People say this. It's easier to die as a Jew than to live as a Jew. What does it mean? Yitzchak was going to get killed. He's done. Finished. Avraham Avinu had to live with that for the rest of his life. Living with Mesiras Nefesh is harder than dying with Mesiras Nefesh. Yitzchak was going to die on Mesiras Nefesh. Okay, he was going to be willing to kill, get killed for the sake of Hashem. Okay, now, so going back to the Ramban's question, why doesn't Hashem say anything good about Avraham like he says by Noach? Noach is tzaddik, tamim hayu b'dereisav. You know, here, v'yom Hashem al Avraham. Say, talk a little bit about Avraham, the Ramban asks. So what's the answer? The Ramban says, because Hashem is talking to every single Jew.
This is talking
to every single Jew.
Oh, okay.
Avraham is the father of all Jews. Hashem is saying, you don't need to be a tzaddik to be this level, what we're going to discuss soon, what Hashem asked Avraham Avinu to do. You don't need to be a tzaddik. And if the Torah would have said Avraham was a tzaddik and he was a holy man, people would say, okay, what do you want from me? Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik, so he did what he did. You expect me to do what he did? I can't do what he did. So the Torah says, I want you to know, we're not talking about Avraham because he's a great man. We're talking about Avraham because he was a Jew. He was the first Jew. V'yayimah Hashem al Avraham, he was the first Jew, and therefore every Jew has the ability to do what Avraham Avinu did. And every Jew has an obligation to do what Avraham Avinu did. What is Hashem telling the first, like Shalom Aleichem, the first mission God is giving Avraham? What does he say? He says to him like this, Lech lecha go, May Arzecha literally means from your land. Milatrecha from your birthplace. Umi Beis Avicha, from your father's house. So the explanation, Chassidus has a very interesting explanation of the depth of the meaning of these words. The Gemara says, Eretz, the root of Eretz is Rotz, which is the root of the word Rotzon, will. Will is called Ratzon. Yehi Ratzon Mufanach, right? Ratzon means, maybe you will. Yehi Ratzon, maybe you will. The Torah is saying, what's the function of a Jew? You have wills. You have desires. You have wants. Hashem says, get out of them. Lech lecha go, may artzecha, from your own wills. What you want, just get out. You will say the whole thing at the end. Get out of your own will. From your birthplace, that means from your habits. What were habits? From birth. You know, from your habits. People are born with certain habits. Okay? Hashem says, get out of your habits. Be beis avicha, from your father's house. Chassidus explain, what is avicha? Avicha is seichel. Ava em chochman bina. Avicha means get out of your own seichel. So the Torah says to every Jew like this, and this is the first mission of Avraham Avinu, and therefore it's the first mission of every single Jew. Hashem says to every single Jew like this, Lech lecha, go. From where should you go out of? From your own desires, your own wants, from your natural traits, from your natural habits, from your natural intellect, from your natural intelligence, and where should you go? Ela oretz asher ar'eka, to the world that I'm showing you, what I want you to do. In other words, like this. Let's speak, it's the season now, Pesach, right? Pesach season. What is going out of Mitzrayim mean? We learned many times. Mitzrayim doesn't only mean Egypt. Mitzrayim comes with Mitzorim, boundaries. Okay? There's certain boundaries and limitations that a person has. Those boundaries, if you think about it, are what I want. That's me, what I want. What I'm used to. And what I think. These are the boundaries, the Mitzrayim, of every single one of us. What I think, that's right. What I want, is right. What my habit is, what my nature is, that's right. The Torah says, what's the mission of the Jew? Go out of Egypt. Lech lecha. Go out from your desires, go out from your nature, go out from your intellect. And Hashem said, where should you go? To the land I show you. What does this mean? To explain it like this. In the world, there's inanimate plant, animal, and human. Domim tzomei chai medaber. The purpose of everything in the world is to go up. Right? Everything, the purpose is to go up, not down. The purpose is to go up. What happens to the inanimate domain like water? Water waters a plant. Therefore, it becomes part of the growth of the plant. Therefore, what really happens, domain, the inanimate, is elevated to plant life. Plants are eaten by animals. So therefore, the plant, from plant life, becomes elevated to animal life. If you're not vegetarian, humans eat meat. What happens to the food we eat? It becomes blood and flesh. So what happens to animals? Animals become elevated to mankind. So everything went up.
What about mineral?
What?
Mineral. Mineral.
That's dumb, inanimate.
Yeah, but what we create, mineral.
We use them. We use them. We eat them. We use them. We whatever it is.
No, I think he's talking
no,
about
the mineral. Like the rock, space, stone.
Yeah, so that, yeah.
When they're used to build a building of good things, then it's elevated also. I'm just saying, okay. Now, the question, where do we go? We're the epitome of creation. Unless we live in Beverly Hills, then dogs are the epitome of creation. But normal people are the epitome of creation. So the question is, where do we go? So the answer is, we go up to God. We become one with Hashem. So that's what Hashem says. Huh? So nice? Thank you. You agree with it? So Hashem says to everything, Vayim Hashem Avram, and therefore, like the Ramban is explaining, it doesn't matter if you're a tzaddik or not. Vayim Hashem Avram, Hashem is speaking to Avram, meaning to every single Jew. What's your mission in life? What is the purpose of your creation? To go out of your wills, desires, go out of your nature, go out of your intellect, and go to the land that become one with God. That's what Hashem wants from all of us.
But even that has different levels, right?
Correct.
And the closer you get to Hashem,
the further you are.
And then he's watching itsy bits every moment, every action that you do, so.
What do you want him to do?
I don't know.
No, if you're that close, I'm being serious. If you're that, after 120 years, if you're that close to Hashem, then Hashem is not watching everything. You're at a different level, no?
Yeah, you become a much, much greater spiritual level.
Where Hashem is watching everything.
Even as a human being, when you're a godly person, you're a much higher level. Let's say this very simply. A human being who's interested in eating and drinking and having a good time and sleeping, yeah? They are not only as bad as an animal, they are worse than an animal. Why? An animal is created an animal. That's what it is, and that's what it was created to do. Eat, sleep, and have a good time. People who are created with intellect to be greater and utilize to grow and in intellectual things, which is the uniqueness of a human, and a person, instead of doing that, uses to eat and to drink and have a good time, and that's all they're interested in, they're not only as bad as an animal, they're worse than an animal.
One second,
you have even Lahavdil, Goyim, even they don't have Torah mitzvahs, yeah? But Goyim that are into intellectual things in life, into education, into science, into, you know, intellectual things, are much more refined human beings than a guy that likes to have a good time. I mean, that's the fact. People don't, whether they like it or not. Even have a human being, Jewish or not Jewish, doesn't matter. When the person is into intellectual things, they're into education, they're into math, science, some, you know, the biggest embarrassment to humanity is that the teachers, don't mention the secular world, yeah? Teachers that are educating and molding the life of the kids get paid less and not only less, a million times less than a guy who knows how to kick a ball, or throw a ball, or knows how to be a faker and an actor and actress who are low lives. Isn't that embarrassing to humanity? Just think about it. Okay, there's supply and demand, they bring in the money so they get paid. Very nice. But the bottom line, the world we live in today idolizes sports, actors, yeah, and all that type of stuff, rather than holding educators in high esteem. Teachers, if you think about it, teachers should be paid the big bucks, and the football players, and the basketball players, and the hockey players should be getting bupkis. That's the way it should be. If you talk about the moral compass, yeah, they'll tell you these guys bring in money, these guys don't bring in money, but the fact that human nature is like that around the world, you know, that people go crazy for a concert, yeah, and they won't go crazy for a lecture. I'm talking in the secular world, yeah? You have a professor going to give a lecture, or some rapper giving a rapper, yeah? Who's going to get the bigger crowd? Without any question. Why? It's a disgrace to humanity. So terrorists tell us, that's not what the life of a Jew is supposed to be. Go from your birthplace, your natures, and go to the land of God.
Yeah, but the place where you live, the place where you born, the parents that you're gonna have, by the constructional intellect of your thought, this is the will of Hashem.
He Correct.
You in this position or other. So it's like because
he's not, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean he'll leave your parents' house. By the way, Hashem told Avram, leave Terech. Because Terech was an idol worshiper at the present. At the end of his life, he did tshuva. Terech. But until then, he was an idol worshiper. And in fact, one of the reasons...
Became a Jew?
Huh?
And he became a Jew?
No, but he did tshuva at the end. That's Rashi said, last Rashi, Mikan, that he did tshuva. So what's interesting is, one of the reasons the commentaries say, why didn't God tell Avraham Avinu where to go? Because he didn't want the Canaanites following him. He didn't want his father following him. According to the Medrash, Terech did follow Avram until he came to Choron, where we learned last week's parsha, in Choron, and then Terech said, oh, this is where I want to be. And Avram kept going. Avram Avinu wouldn't be able to function with the evil of his father around, who was a major idol worshiper. But Hashem is telling every Jew, go out and move on, move up. Move up in the world, not down. Okay. V'etz chol l'goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. And Rashi says like this. Normally, when a person travels, not today, you know, you go on a first class. Years ago when you traveled by horse and buggy, three things became less. Less children, because you weren't stable. Less money, and less name recognition. Because when you're in one place, you're established, you have name recognition. So Hashem says to Avram Avinu, I want you to go travel. So Hashem says to him, I want you to know, when you're traveling, all these three things that are negative are not going to happen. The first thing we said, you don't have that many kids. You're going to have a lot of kids. Then he says, I'm going to have less money. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a bracha for money. Avram became very wealthy. And the third thing, that my name is going to be nothing. V'agad l'shmecha. And I'm going to make your name great. And Hashem says, "V'heyei bracha," and you will be a blessing. Now, the Gemara says an interesting thing. At the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, "Baruch Atah Hashem, Alkei Avraham, Alkei Yitzchak, Alkei Yaakov." Right? How do we conclude the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. We don't say Magen Avraham Yitzchak of Yaakov. We start off, Elokei Noah, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why don't we finish the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. Why don't we? So the Gemara says it's based on this pasuk. The pasuk says like this. V'Ezcha L'Goy Gadol, I'll make you a great nation, that's Elokei Avram. V'Avarechacha, I'll bless you, that's Elokei Yitzchak. V'Agad L'Shmecha, that's Elokei Yaakov. But how am I going to end? V'heyei bracha. You're going to be the bracha. You're going to be the ending of the bracha. Magen Avraham. Then we begin all three, but the end of the bracha, Hashem says, you're going to be the end of the bracha. Why? Because he was the first one. What made Avraham Avinu unique? The fact that he came to the recognition of God on his own at an early age. That was his greatness.
So God did not instill that within him?
No.
Or we don't know?
He reached that on his own. That was his greatness. That's why Noach wasn't the first Jew, and Adam wasn't the first Jew, and Mr. Shalach, they were great. Chanoch, Mr. Shalach, they were great men. But they weren't the first Jew, because the first Jew had to come to the recognition of God on his own.
So how did Abraham come to recognize God?
Okay, so how did he come to do it? Abraham Avinu got up in the morning, when he was a little kid, yeah? And he says, yes, balabayis lebirazu. There has to be a boss. Okay. You see the building across the street? Not the Mercedes. You were the cell phone company building, yeah? Did you see somebody build it?
No.
Did somebody build it? Yes. Are you sure somebody, would you put money down that somebody built it?
Yes.
Yeah. But you saw it?
No.
But what? If there's a building, somebody had to make it. Correct? Okay, so Avraham Avinu says, there's a world. Somebody had to make it. He didn't know who. So the Medrash says, it was during the day. So he said, oh, look at that big guy in the sky, the sun. That must be the real God. Look how powerful he is. So the whole day Avraham Avinu worshipped the sun.
That was my other question.
1 second. It came night. Sun checked out. So he said, well, that can't be a god if he's a temporary god. So then the moon came up. So he said, okay, this guy. And by process of elimination, this is what the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu came to the realization that there's a super being that's beyond comprehension and visibility and everything. There is this God that makes the world run. It didn't come by itself. It didn't fall down from wherever. Because even heaven was made. So that's how Avraham Avinu realized on his own that there's a God in the world. And he realized it can be stones, it can be mountains, it can be, because these things were all made, and a God can't be made.
Either.
Huh?
Can be soul. So what is Hashem? He's not a human, he's not a stone, he's not, is it a soul? I mean, is he a soul?
God is God. There were two chassidim who were friendly. So one chassid says to the other one, can you please define God for me? So the other chassid opens his mouth. He wants to try to explain God. He smacks him in the face, friendly, and he says, the second you open up your mouth to explain what God is, it's already not God. God is not explainable. You want to, because whatever you can explain is limited. What it is, we don't know.
But does he look like a human?
No, he's a male white Ashkenazi. What does he look like? You can't Google God and see a picture. It's not going to happen. Okay. Rashi says another thing. Why did Hashem not tell Avraham Avinu right away where he's sending him to? Because he sent him to the land of Canaan, right? Because Hashem wanted to speak to him more and more and more every time, show more love to Avraham Avinu, more love to Avraham Avinu. And that's what he... Okay, then he said like this. I will bless, Hashem says, Mivarechecha. Those that bless you. Whoever blesses you, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I will bless them. Umekalecha, and those that curse you, or I will curse. Now, it's interesting that Ibn Ezra writes, Vavarcha mevarachecha is plural. Mevarachecha is plural. There's a yud there. And by Mekalelcha is no yud, which is Lashon Yochid singular. So Ibn Ezra says, what is Hashem saying? The ones that bless you are going to be a lot. The ones that curse you are going to be few. Few individuals. But really, it's going to be that way. Okay, now, Hashem says like this, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Okay. Now, what's interesting, the Klei Yoker asked this question, by the way. Vavarcha, it says like this, I will bless those that bless you. And then Hashem says, and the ones that curse you, I will curse. It's not in sequence. If it says, I will bless those that bless you, then Hashem should have said, I will curse those that curse you. Correct? This follows in. I will bless those that bless you, and therefore it should say, I will curse those that curse you. Yeah? That's not what the pasuk says. Pasuk says, I will bless those that bless you, and the ones that curse you, I will curse. So either you should have said, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. Or, I will bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you. But he's saying in
opposite order.
Opposite order. By blessing, Hashem says, I will bless those that bless you. And by curse, Hashem says, those that curse you, I will curse. Why is the I coming afterwards? So the Klei Yoker says a very beautiful thing. When somebody wants to come to do good, Hashem says, I will bless him even before he actually blesses you. Vavarcha, I will bless the ones that are coming to bless you. In negativity, in curses, Hashem says, until they actually curse you, I will not punish them though. Mekalelcha, if they actually curse you, then Hashem says, I'm going to curse them. And this is the difference between good and bad. In good, our sages teach us, that when you come to do good, Hashem already helps you and blesses you and gives you good. By evil, until you actually commit the evil, Hashem says, I'm not doing it. I will not punish you. And therefore Hashem says, Tavram Avinu, Vavarcha Mevarachecha, okay? I will love, basically what Hashem is saying like this, I will love your friends and I will hate your enemies. Or, another thing it says, it refers to the Kohanim. You know what Kohanim do, Birchat Kohanim? So it says, Kohanim bless the Jews. Who's gonna bless the Kohanim? So it says, we say, V'samu Hashmi al b'nei Yisrael, V'ani avarachem, I will bless the Kohanim. So Hashem says, and that's what we mean, V'avarcha, Hashem says about the Kohanim, I will bless the Kohanim who bless you. Because they need the blessing too. So Hashem says, I will give them the blessing. And it's interesting, the Gemara has an expression, Berchase shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu meruba l'ikar. The blessing of Hashem, or Tzfase shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu meruba l'ikar, meaning, when you bless somebody, and that therefore Hashem blesses you, Hashem gives you a bigger bracha than you bless the person. This is what Chazal teaches from this thing. Va'avarcha mevarachecha says, Tzfase shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu meruba l'ikar, meaning, when Hashem blesses you, it's more than the person blessed you. So when a person gives you a bracha, Hashem blesses that person more than the bracha he gave you. Because Hashem gives more than humans give. So it's always good to bless people because then Hashem blesses you more than what you would have gotten blessed. Hashem loves when people do good. What can I tell you? Okay, then it says like this, V'nivrechu v'cha, kol mishpachei so adama uvzarecha. And all the families of the earth shall bless themselves with you. What does that mean? How will people bless their children? Ah, you should be like Avram and his children. Which is the ultimate compliment. Right? That you should be like Avram and his children is the ultimate bracha. Or like it says, V'yisimcha l'kim k'afraim v'michim menashe. Hashem should bless you to be like Ephraim and Menashe. That means that's the ultimate level of a bracha. All the brachas of people they're going to bless with your name. It should be like Avraham Avinu and this and that. Okay, so it says now like this. Vayelech Avraham, Pasuk Daled. Avraham went, Kashedibet Ita Eleil of Hashem, like Hashem told him, meaning he didn't ask any question. Okay? Va'avram, and this is the difficult pasuk that we learned before. Ben Chamesh v'shanim v'shivim shana, he was 75 when he left Chodon. Even though by Bris Ben Absalom it says he was 70, because it was 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak, whatever, and therefore this took place after Bris Ben Absalom, according to many opinions. So after that whole thing. Why? Because there's no chronological order in Torah. Now Light went with him. He didn't take Light with him. Okay? Now, Light's father, remember, died. We learned, hold on. After Avraham Avinu was safe in the fire, so Haran was given the choice by Nimrod, you want to be like me or like him? So he said, he was safe, okay, I'm also going to be safe. So Haran said, I'm going to be like Avraham. He threw him into the fire, he got killed. So Avraham took Light under his wing. Like Mordechai took Esther. So Avraham took Light under his wing. In fact, there's a Rashi says later, in Lech Lecha, that Light and Avraham looked very, very similar. He said, Ki Anoshim and Achim Anachnu were brothers. Rashi says, Avraham and Light looked very similar. Well, they're uncle and nephew. And don't forget, there was no aging at this time. The first one to get old, Avraham Zakeh and Baba Yom, Avraham Avinu was the first one to ever get old. Nobody aged. So Light and Avram look very similar.
Wait, I thought it was
Yitzhak
or Yaakov.
Was that? Well,
he was the first person
to get old. No, it was Avram. It said, Avram Zalkin by Yaman. So the Gemara says, Ad Avram Lahaisa Zikna. Until Avram, there was no such thing as aging. Why did Avram ask? It's his fault. He told God, me and Yitzchok look exactly alike. Nobody can tell who's the father, who's the son. So make me look like a father. So it's Avraham Zakeh, Hashem made him old. Yaakov Avinu, like we said, how did people die? They sneezed and the neshama came out, went in through the nose, it went out through the nose. That's why you say, gesundheit, it's a gesund, whatever, yeah? But Yaakov Avinu wanted a warning before he died. He wanted to bless his children. So Yaakov Avinu said to God, give me a sign that I'm dying. So Hashem made him sick. Until Yaakov Avinu, there's no illness in the world.
I'm not going to say what I'm sure a lot of people are thinking right now.
What?
First of all, he wanted it, and then millions of people have to suffer throughout generations.
Who says it's suffering?
There's people suffering.
From aging? What's the alternative? The alternative?
From being sick. What's the alternative? That's my other question. I'm sure there's an... I mean, could have...
Okay, I don't want to get into this too much, but let me ask you a question. God does things are good or bad?
Does what?
Good.
Okay. You better... Yeah. Okay, whatever God does is good. So when God makes people sick, it's good or bad?
Long run, it's good.
Never tell me in the long run. God doesn't do good in the long run. God does good. Yeah? Now it's good. Okay. So God is good, and therefore the nature of good is to do good, and therefore whatever Hashem does is good. Therefore, X equals it. Therefore, when a person is sick, is good. Now, the question is, in my eyes, it looks bad. But this lady didn't understand before. God doesn't have eyes. He sees things differently than we do. He doesn't have our eyes and our mouth and our understanding. Okay? Thank God he doesn't. And therefore he sees things his way, and it's very good. Just because I don't see it doesn't make it wrong. Okay? Okay, so now the passage says like this. Yikach Avram and Sarai Ishtay. So Avram took Sarai, his wife. And the Zohar says, what does it mean he took his wife? You can't force it to go. You couldn't force it to go. But he took her, persuaded her to come. Okay, and he told her, because you can't, there's a halacha, by the way, you're not allowed to force your wife to move to a different country without her consent. So therefore, Avraham Avinu kept her. So he persuaded her to come. That's Leit ben Achiv and Leit his nephew. That's called a Chusham Asher, also Becharon. Okay, that all the properties that they inherited, that they amassed, and that's a nefesh Asher also Becharon, and all the souls they made in Charon. Now, what souls did he make in Charan? So the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu, he was the first Chabadnik, right? He went out to the world and spread Yiddishkeit. Avraham Avinu made a lot of gedim, not converts like we have today, you know, halacha gedim. Avraham Avinu, it says in the Medrash, Avraham Megayer Hanoshim, Sarah Megayer Hanoshim. Avraham Avinu converted the men, Sarah converted the women. Which means, Avraham Avinu brought a lot of people into believing in one God. And that's what it says, Shechnisim tachas kamfei hashchina, Rashi says. What did Avraham Avinu, what souls did Avraham Avinu bring? He converted them that they believed in one God. Sarah converted the women, and now, that's the deeper meaning. What's the simple meaning of the Pasuk Rashi says? What does it mean, the souls that they had in Charan? Servants, slaves, maidservants, all the things that they bought. So whatever they had, they picked up and they moved. Which means, and this is part of Avraham Avinu, by the way, passing a test. Because simply, if you think about it, Avraham Avinu should have kept his stuff back in Charan. You know, in storage. And he would have got to test it out, you know, try it out, like normal people do. You don't just move to a new city. You don't even know where you're going and take everything with you. Yeah? First, you go, check it out, and then you come back and take your stuff. Avraham Avinu didn't believe in that. Hashem told him, go. What did Avraham Avinu do? Did? He took Light, he took Sarah, he took his wife. He took everything that he had, and Vayetzel Alechas Hatz Canaan. He went towards the land of Canaan. Okay? Now, everybody wanted to follow Avraham Avinu. Now, what's interesting, Hashem didn't even tell him where to go yet. But, that even though Hashem didn't give him the final destination, okay, Avraham Avinu understood, this is the land I'm eventually going to get as inheritance. Avraham Avinu knew this already, that he's going to have inheritance in the land of Eretz Yisrael, so to Canaan. So he said, where am I going? God didn't tell me yet where to go. I'm going. Where am I going? Going in that direction. Then we'll see what Hashem tells me to do. So that's what it said. Everybody agreed with him. So it's interesting. Some opinions, by the way, Sefer Yosher says, how many converts did Avraham Avinu have? 72. Now, by the way, it's interesting. This whole Mefarshim ask, whatever happened to those converts? The Medrash asks, by the way, what happened to all those converts that Avraham Avinu and Sarah made? So they say they never stayed. After Avraham and Sarah died, it wasn't a real conversion. It was all through the influence of Avraham and Sarah. When Avraham and Sarah left or died, whatever it was, they didn't keep it.
What, they went back to being...
Yeah,
time?
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but a convert, if he's go back after, he's still a Jew.
Today. Not those days. Those days wasn't a conversion. It was they believed in God. Avraham Avinu taught them how to believe, that they have to believe in God. But that was it. There was no changing of essence. And today, if a ger converts halachically, and then they go back to become a guy, they're still a Jew. Once you convert, you're there for all of it.
So why do you say they always have to be kosher and Shabbat?
No, when they accept to become a convert, they have to. I mean, everybody has to be religious. But I'm saying, if they don't accept that at the time of conversion, it's worthless. Then the conversion is worthless. But if a person was serious at the time of conversion, at, you know, when he became a get, that they're going to keep mitzvahs and the Shabbos and kosher and mikveh and tefillin and all, you know, all those mitzvahs, and they really meant it, and then later they go back, and all a bunch of people like that, they were mamish from, and then they say one day that's it, it's over, those people are still Jews. Halachically, they're still Jews. If a person had a called a Mickey Mouse conversion, not a proper conversion with acceptance of mitzvahs and, you know, Mila and mikveh and all, then it was never a gedus to begin with. There was another level of what was called in the United States, there was called Ger Teshev. Ger Teshev was not a ger, like we know a ger, a convert. Ger Teshev is, as the Gemara says, the Rambam brings down, that a Ger Teshev is a guy who accepted in Beis Din to keep the seven Noahite laws because God commanded Moshe at Har Sinai. He was called a Ger Teshev. He was a guy. He didn't become a Jew. What he did was he accepted the seven Noahite laws in Beis Din, in the courts. But why did he do it? Like the Rambam says, not because it's the right thing to do, because God told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that Goyim have to keep the seven Noahide laws.
If a guy wants to keep the seven Noahide laws, why does he have to go to a Beis Din?
That's what I'm saying, because then he had certain rights in Eretz Yisrael that the regular guy didn't have. And he was what's called, by the way, the Rambam calls that Chassidi Umas Ha'olam, the righteous Gentiles that have a share in the world to come.
And the Christian doesn't keep the seven laws.
Huh?
The Christian doesn't keep the seven laws.
Just, what do you mean? They're a guy.
Yeah, but they keep it.
And if a Jew, do they all keep seven Noahide laws? No.
I thought it was a Christian. No.
Do all Jews keep all mitzvahs? Not yet. Not yet. Mitzvah Shem, they will. But the ger, these gerim that Avraham Avinu made were basically just believing in one God. So that never permeated them in the extent that it lasted. Avraham Avinu's influence left. But, ger Teshev is a goy, but he accepts seven mitzvahs. A real ger is proper ger, proper convert.
Non-Jews don't have a share in the world to come?
Only if they have their own, you know, but the Chassidei Umas Ha'olam have a chelek l'olam haba. Chassidei Umas Ha'olam, which means the righteous non-Jews, which the Rambam defines to mean a guy that accepted to do the seven mitzvahs in Beis Din because God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, they have a share in the world to come. In the Jewish olam haba.
Why would a non-Jew want to be in a Jewish olam haba?
Why would he want to be? Why wouldn't he want to be?
I'm being serious.
Why would he? Why wouldn't he be?
Why would he?
Because there's a lot of
friends,
good food there. It's bliss of God.
Yeah.
There's a bliss of God revealed in that world. Listen, nowadays you have no one people's
I mean,
dogs. Okay, you know today when a person has a dog and the dog dies, you ask him where's your dog, they see it's in puppy heaven. So that's Gan Eden for puppies. There's Gan Eden for different things.
I'm serious.
Yeah, okay.
Non-Jews who don't keep the seven Noahide laws, we don't know what happens to them. No one knows where they go.
Right.
We don't know if there's a concept of heaven, hell, purgatory.
There is. But the level of Gan Eden, which is bliss of God, that they don't have. Now, does Chassidei Umos HaElam have the same Gan Eden we have? Not necessarily. So, Elam Haba, Gan Eden, but the question is to what extent? Okay, you know what? I have to stop here.